Welcome to the Larry Kreider's Leadership Podcast. Larry is the author of over 40 books, the founder of Dove International, a worldwide family of churches and ministries in six continents, and has over 50 years of leadership experience. He and his guests will share inspirational leadership insights from their journey with God. These insights, gleaned from serving leaders in many nations, will transform your life and leadership. For more information on Larry's books and resources, visit LarryKreider.com.
Welcome to the Larry Kreider Leadership Podcast. So great to have you with us. This is Larry Kreider. With me in the studio again back today is Tony Fitzgerald from Richmond, Virginia. And his lovely wife, Marilyn, is kind of sitting in the corner watching everything we're doing here. So anyway, we want to talk today, Tony, about living naturally, supernatural. And I know this is a life message for you. And so we're just going to open the door wide and you run in. And you talk to us about how you've learned to do that. How did you learn to walk in the supernatural in a very natural way? Because you're such a kingdom person. You've done that. If you can do it, anybody else can do it, right?
Right.
Exactly. Definitely. So go ahead and talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'd like to preface by saying I wish I was living in it much more than I am. But I do enjoy that whole aspect of what the kingdom life is really all about.
A lot of the years in your life.
And we've seen a lot of things happen. Yeah, and I think it's came right back when I had cancer when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And although I wasn't supernaturally healed, well, I was through medicine, which I believe God uses of that in all ways. But it was that when I lived about a 17-year-old then, I guess I was, and saw everybody else in my cancer ward die except me pretty much. It does change your life as a young person. It impacts you.
Yes.
And then you begin to think, well, God, if I've got my life all over again, you know, where's this going to go? Mm-hmm. And so that took us on the journey a lot more. But in the early days of that, getting filled with the Spirit, learning to understand some of the kingdom in the denomination, coming out of that, we did a trip to England. Mm. And it was in the Jesus Revolution days. So it's denims, jackets, Jesus stickers all over us, longer hair, beards, and all that we were. And myself and another guy arrived. My first trip out of Australia, I'd come from a Salvation Army background.
Sure.
So one man I wanted to meet was a man who was one of the top world leaders of the Salvation Army, not the general, but he was in charge of all the men's social work globally, really. And this man, I knew of him, that he was a spirit-filled man, that he was a doctor of medicine. He was also, I think, a psychiatrist, a psychologist or something, and was just a very powerful, strong man, but a very gentle man. So I got an appointment with him in his office, and I went and said, you know, we're in England, and we had some hearts and things. And he asked us, what's our vision, you know, and what is it? And God was just beginning to form some things in us. And he just looked at me across the table. He leaned forward and said, young man, and we were then, I guess, young man, he said, if you really want to see God do what you believe he can do, you're going to have to learn to live naturally, supernatural.
Mm.
And that's where it came for us. It became a battle cry in our hearts that we wanted to become people who could live naturally, supernatural, that we wouldn't have to just call people to a building for a miracle, that God's people would be just living in a supernatural realm. And so
in a very natural way, right?
In a very natural way. So I learned words of knowledge, how to prophesy, gifts of the Spirit, all of that on the streets. I never learned it in meetings.
So you talk about words of knowledge. Obviously, I understand, many of our listeners understand that. Some don't. What do you mean by word of knowledge?
Well, when it says in the Bible, you know, that these gifts...
1 Corinthians 12.
We say the charismatic gifts, but, you know...
Supernatural
gifts. Supernatural gifts. Amongst them, you know, is a word of knowledge, is prophecy, is discerning of spirits, these gifts, you know. And so that one, a word of knowledge, a supernatural understanding of what could be going on in someone's life primarily, but even in physical ways as well, but could be going on in someone's life, and that would be the key to unlock their life. So we always saw gifts of the Spirit as tools to unlock people and to serve people, never to be some niche in our Bible or something.
Right,
now
right.
I've got that gift or something. But walking the streets and working late nights, drug addicts, young kids, you know, in those early 70s, that's where we began to learn. Illustrations I could just take me all day to tell you, but we saw Hell's Angels climbing walls supernaturally.
Wow.
Out of God, literally sliding up walls while we cast demons out of them, praying, one man particularly, leathers, chains, you know, sliding up the wall and praying the devil's prayer, Our Father who art in hell, and we're praying and eventually cast the spirit out of him, and he crashed to the floor.
Amazing.
And just got up delivered. So we were being raised early days in ministry in some of those things. It was a weird time, those early 70s.
Yes,
you
it
know.
Was. I remember
it was
well.
almost you could say anything, and mm-hmm. you know, it was just God was just breathing. But one night in there, a man walked into the store, into our little coffee bar, and everyone had emptied out because he was ranting and raving and out of control, and he would jump up and try to grab my neck and that kind of thing. And in the end, I got a bit scared, and I just said something like, God, give me a word or something. And I just found myself saying, you hated being raised in that boy's home, and that lady who was in charge of you hated her guts. And it was Australia, you know.
Right, right.
Hated her guts. And then I got totally in the flesh and said, and God also tells you, if you don't repent, you're going to hell. So, but that was, you know, God said we prophesy in part.
That's
that second
right.
part,
the part
was,
you missed,
was my
right?
part. But the first bit, he fell back in his chair and said, how'd you know that? I said, God told me. And he said, maybe you're right. And he got up and left.
Mm.
What I didn't know, that night we had skinheads and that in the shop. They had gone outside, but they were looking through the window because we had told them this God we served was more powerful than anything they could serve. And they came back in and said, if you had to miss that one, we were gone. But they started to get saved one by one
wow.
after that because they saw the supernatural
mm-hmm.
power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So it grew out of that, mm-hmm. you know, out of those early beginnings, just walking streets,
sure.
picking kids up out of the gutters,
yep.
having their words mm-hmm. of knowledge, prophesying, that kind of thing. And then as it developed, we just began to see we have these areas. There's a spirit realm, there's a natural realm, but they don't have to be totally different. You know, God works in the natural realm. And then we began to see, or I began to see at least, that I saw that God had really never done a supernatural thing in his life. Everything was just natural to him.
Mm.
And we're either seated with him in heavenly places, so we either let him lift us up where he is,
so good.
Or we try to pull him down to where we are
right.
and get muddling around here and asking him to bless it. Or we just do it out of where he is. So they were the early kind of foundation things we just began to explore and get some understanding on how these things unpackage.
Mm.
And then we just saw some things happen as life just developed. We went to England to live. Our third daughter died inside Marilyn while Marilyn was carrying her. The doctors had said she was dead. That's why all these things link together on mm-hmm. these podcasts for us, because the doctor had told Marilyn that she was carrying a dead child but wanted to pass the remains naturally. And we were on a plane after that going to America where I was going to meet a person and ask them didn't really know the terminology in the same way, but would they be like a spiritual father to me? And this was early days. We're just
right.
planning the first church really
right.
that became Church of the Nations. So flying across on the plane, I looked across at Marilyn, saw tears in her eyes, and I said, what's wrong, honey? She said, I think the baby just kicked.
Wow.
And on my way to enter into a father-son relationship, Abby came back to life inside Marilyn.
Praise God.
And now she's got a prominent role down in Richmond where we live.
Exactly.
God's using her powerfully down there in the supernatural.
Wow.
Which is fascinating. So Abby lived, the church lived, Church of the Nations came into being.
Amazing.
And everything went out just out of a naturally supernatural existence. We weren't really prayed up. We weren't really, you know, we hadn't had 3 hours pressing into God or something. It was just in very natural ways. And then we just began to see it develop and grow out of all that. Before that, through that time, it just became something that we saw. And a friend of ours who wrote a song at that time that got involved in a lot of this called Let God Be Himself Supernatural. Let God do his own thing, a miracle. Never refuse him, never abuse him. Just let God be himself supernatural. But then we realized it was naturally supernatural.
Beautiful.
That was just living in.
So there's many listening to this podcast right now saying, I want to live like that. I want to live naturally supernatural. What do you, recommendations do you have for them? What could they do to position themselves to live naturally supernatural in the way that you're talking about right now?
Yeah, I think what they can do is, number one, I would say, is really develop a son relationship with the Heavenly Father.
Okay, good.
I think too many Christians are still serving a God who doesn't exist. A hard taskmaster,
right?
You know,
someone
who they feel not really forgiven, or feel their past will ruin their tomorrows. You know, all of that. That
when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, it was started with our Father.
Our Father. Yeah. That's where he started. If you can't pray that, as you do in your teaching, you know, if we can't start there, and I know for you, Larry, and for Dove, and for us, it's become our foundation of God as a Father,
right?
And that's why I teach so much on that subject, is the Father heart of God, and then fathers and sons out of that. If you, if you're in that place, then you're never examining yourself, am I worthy to move in this way, or am I worthy? All you are is a tool in God's hands that he can use. And, you know, tools are just tools. We don't have to be perfect to be that. Our heart intent, we want to have perfect, but, you know, we can just position ourselves there. So I think once I began to understand the Father heart of God, began to realize that my performance doesn't impress him. He's not really interested. It doesn't cause him to love me any more or any less. My acceptance in him is not on my performances, on whose I am, not on who I am or what I am, in a sense. Those things, out of that place of rest, it works much easier. And then to realize that this God, when I teach on the subject, I often say, how many of you believe that God is all present? You know, people say yes. How many of you believe that God's in you? Yes, I believe. How many of you believe that God's all-knowing? Yes, I believe. So therefore, do you believe that all knowledge of the universe is in you? If God's in you. Then they, oh, that one's not quite so easy. But when I realize a word of knowledge is nothing more than God just releasing into the natural, which is already there anyhow, and he protects the people all the time, so he only does it if it can help set them free, and then only pinpoint certain things, then, you know, that's when it began to be a part of our life. And that's when it got more into meetings and meetings that ran all night, and when God began to give us dates and words, and when certain things, the houses, things happen in the addresses, and all that kind of thing. But it it has become and grown far more natural. And I believe that the Father question, fatherhood, is going to be the new evangelism, touching the Father whole or heart or hurt in people's lives. Is going to be the key, far more than four spiritual laws or something, because it's the goodness of God that draws people to himself. And so for me, it's just much more natural now. I mean, a story in recent years, I was in a restaurant in up in Canada, and a young lady began serving us at the table, and I just felt in my heart that she needed that Father whole healed. And I knew she was from Asia somewhere. I didn't know where. I said, where are you from that brought you to Canada? She said, oh, my mother and my sibling and myself, we immigrated here a number of years ago from the Philippines. And I said, oh, wow, that's great. And then I always take that opportunity then at that point. I said, well, what about your dad? He didn't come. And she just started to fill up with tears. Said, no, he didn't come. He left us. And I said, I just grabbed her hand and said, but can I tell you, this might sound strange to you, but you have a father, his name is God, who will never leave you, never forsake you, loves you to bits, and he can heal that hole in your heart. And she was busy. After go. When I left, I saw her stand over the side by the wall just crying, you know, as father was just ministering to her.
Sure.
So to me, that's how God wants the supernatural
to
work, through ordinary people. Mm-hmm. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things through an extraordinary God.
It's not having to go to a church healing meeting, even though those things are fine.
Yeah.
But it's expecting God will use us day in, day out in the basic walk of life.
Yeah.
Because Christ lives in us.
Yeah. And then seeing that happen financially as well, seeing it happen in every part of life. You know, it's the story that foundation for Marilyn and I, but when we first started out on this path, still in Australia, we were working on the streets, living in a drop-in center, which was just our little house as well. We didn't have a cent to our name, nothing left whatsoever. And no bottles we could cash in those days. Not a cent, not a piece of bread in the house, nothing. And I looked at Marilyn, our two little kids sitting there in their high chairs or whatever they were. My sister was there. And I thought, God, is this our life now? What, you know, what is this really? I need to settle some things here.
Right.
I know I'm called, but, you know, many are called, few are chosen, not many are called, most are frozen, you know, or something. We were had nothing, couldn't pay any, you know, nothing. And so I just looked at them and said, I'm going to go and buy some fish and chips for the meal. And we didn't have a cent. And I walked out of that little place. 500 meters or 500 yards roughly, across a busy intersection. We're in the gang world of the city, across a traffic light. And on the way to the fish and chip shop, I was saying, Father, Father, I've got to know. The Bible says you'll never see your sons begging bread and all this.
Right, right.
I don't mind how tough it is and how you want to test us, but what's it like to walk with you as dad? And as we walked there, I looked down at my shoes. And on my shoe, the money for the meal was there.
Wow.
I picked it up, went in the fish shop, brought the fish and chips, went back. That was 50 years ago nearly.
Wow.
From that day to this day, we've lived on three continents, had our kids, ran teams, never missed a meal unless God's called us to fast.
Praise God.
Now, we've had some funny meals, some very odd meals. And I tried all kinds of things to put bread on the table at times. So, but we never missed.
Praise God.
So I had to learn that in all that we're naturally supernatural beings, that the spiritual side is not a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
People had even interpreted things like saying, well, we're body, soul, and spirit when you ask people, where the Bible says we're spirit, soul, and body. And to realize that primarily we're a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a soul.
True. That's true.
And we have a body.
Correct.
So doing spiritual things, supernatural things, is not contradiction. It's who we are.
Correct.
Anything else is a contradiction.
Mm-hmm.
Just to live in the natural realm is where we shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
We should be living in this naturally supernatural realm. Because primarily we're a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are.
Correct.
Primarily we're spirit people.
That is correct.
Yeah. And spirit people do spiritual things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And supernatural things, obviously.
Yeah.
Good. Anything else that you would encourage our listeners today to expect to live in the supernatural, expect to experience the supernatural in a natural way? Anything else you would add? And we're going to close our podcast.
Yeah. No, I would just say don't be scared to practice.
Good.
Don't be scared to practice. I had to learn that.
Yeah.
And practice within your realm of security.
Mm-hmm.
Not out there. If you get a word of God, like I use this as an illustration when I teach on it sometimes, Larry. If you got a word on somebody, you're out on the street witnessing, and you felt you had a word, this person killed their father 10 years ago, it's probably best not to say it straight out. Because if you're wrong, you've set this person back in their search for God a long while.
That's right.
So just test the waters. I would say to somebody like that, I'd be a bit bolder now, but growing, I would just say, how's your dad?
Mm-hmm.
And they'd say, well, sorry, he died 10 years ago. And I'd say something like, have you had any problem with anger in your life?
Yeah.
Just practice to feel the way. And then they would start to bring it out. And then I realize, yes, I'm hearing something here.
Yep.
And practice it. Don't be afraid of it.
Tony Fitzgerald, you're refreshing. Your teaching's refreshing. Your heart is amazing. Living naturally, supernatural. Tony Fitzgerald, thank you so much for joining us today. All those listening to the podcast, check out the show notes, please. There's so much on there about Church of the Nations, which Tony represents, and more, even more teaching, some of these powerful things that you're hearing here on this podcast. We look forward to seeing you next week. This is the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, where we interview people from literally around the world who have had experienced years of leadership. And so we can learn these basic truths from them. They'll help us. I've been so blessed to travel to so many continents and sit with leaders and learn these things. Mm-hmm. And I just feel honored that I can bring others, thousands of others, into the conversation, can listen to these amazing stories as God builds his kingdom in us and through us. So God bless you all. Again, the Larry Carter Leadership Podcast, we learn these small things that will make a major difference in our lives and the lives of those we serve. God bless you. Look forward to being back with you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Larry Crider's Leadership Podcast. If you want more information about any of Larry's books, daily devotionals, small group resources, or any other teachings, go to LarryCrider.com.